This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Name and bright lights, you're a rock star. In some tin foil with a glass pipe.
Welcome to Hour 3 of Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Voting results are now in after, quote, human error caused a delay in Milwaukee Tuesday night into early Wednesday morning. In an update in the early morning hours Wednesday, Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen announced the voting results put David Crowley at a total of 65,131 votes, coming to 43.04%. Francesca Hong finished with 62,739 votes, coming to 41.46%. When asked about the error that occurred Tuesday night, Christensen said, and I quote, "Oh, Georgie. Well, that happens, you know." No, it doesn't, George. Come on, George. You got to get your head out of your bottom. Well, that happens, you know. The city of Milwaukee is under a lot of scrutiny always, and essentially, human error happens, and I think we should all just take note that these things happen, you know. And at the end of the day, what's important is that we're transparent, that the results are secure, and that we're open and honest. And that's what the city of Milwaukee elections director did. She came up here and she explained it, went back, got the results, brought them back to us, and we got everything right. And that's what's most important. Now, that's the statement from the Milwaukee County Clerk who oversees elections in the county. If I'm Francesca Hong's campaign, I want that whole thing investigated. Dude said, well, you know, that happens. Here's what really took place. A flash drive was, I don't know, misplaced. Somebody didn't push a button. Somebody didn't transfer the votes over. 15,000 votes, mostly going to David Crowley from the 2nd and the 9th aldermanic districts, were discovered, giving David Crowley essentially his margin in the county. Doesn't that sound odd? And so here's the thing. I'm not assuming that there's anything malicious because I know human beings. I know them very well. Human beings will do something dumb and stupid before they'll do something mean, nasty, and malicious. People make mistakes all the time. Make stupid mistakes. I make stupid mistakes. Want to know the biggest stupid mistake I make? Keep going back to the same damn ex-girlfriend. Can't help it. Stupid mistake. Keep doing it.
Is that real?
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I go back.
Oh, jeez. There's plenty of other women with the good stuff.
Yeah, but you got to sift through. It's like going through a pile of garbage to find one uneaten cheeseburger. It's not in my age group and what I prefer. Like, I don't just, you know what I need? I need a woman smarter than me. Tough to find.
Oh, yeah.
I like a smarty pants.
You know that, you know the River West woman was a lot smarter than me.
River, is that the one with the dreadlock? The one
dreadlock? No. That's the tatted one.
Here's the problem with women who live in River West. They'll have dirty feet.
Oh, no. She had clean feet. Very
sure?
Clean.
I'll bet you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. Clean feet.
You a foot guy? You like feet?
I like a nice, well-kept foot with, you know, nice painted toenails. And yeah, I do like feet.
Okay, fair enough. No judgment. Everybody has their thing.
And I don't want some corns and stuff like that.
No, you don't want that.
Dead skin.
It's just maybe it's the River Western women that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I think
just,
so.
Their feet are dirty because they're barefoot a lot because they're dirty. And they don't shave their armpits, which, hey, ladies, it's your body, your choice.
They're trying to normalize women hair.
That's cool. That's if you want to do that.
A little hair wouldn't hurt you, you know?
Yeah, it does hurt.
It does?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
I don't know. I like
this
a little
is just
hair.
A matter of personal preference. And here's the thing. There's going to be somebody out there, oh, my God, Sherwin, you're such a pig. Most of the women shave. Most women don't even like being hairy. Because I just assume that when a woman doesn't shave, I'm just going to say legs and armpits, that she approaches me to shake my hand.
Hey, I'm Stacy. Nice to meet you. You want to go grab a beer?
As she pulls out a pack of Newport Kings, which is perfectly fine. It's just that's not my thing. But also, I don't want to be seen as a person that objectifies women for their bodies.
Yeah.
And if she has a full beard and hairy armpits and werewolf legs, then I promise you I will see her as a human being and I will treat her as such. I won't be lusting over her and undressing her with my eyeballs. I would do no such thing. I respect her as a human being.
Yes, respect all body types.
Some you react to a little differently. Every so often, and I gotta get this under control. I'm a lot better than I used to be in my old age, but it's still in me. Every so often. It must be jam because jelly don't shake like that. Sometimes when I see, you know what I'm saying, a woman that has got the curves.
Oh, yeah.
And she got that jiggle. Like, she still is moving even after she stops walking. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm, woo! Mm-hmm. Lord of mercy. And I see it. I'm like, oh, good Lord. I can't help it. It's just something, as a man, something happens. And that's why I just can't understand.
Yeah, voluptuous.
I can't understand the gaze. Like, why you would see a, men are disgusting. We are. We're not.
Well, a gay might see you coming and be like, oh, my God.
Oh, the gays love
him. Yeah, they're like, oh, that beard. He has the bald head.
Oh, they love me very much a lot.
Yes.
Hi, Thurwin. Hi. Oh, hey. Hey there, buddy. Come here. No. I'm walking this way. I'll walk with you. No, I'm cool. And then Now I'm jogging. I'm moving a little faster. And now he's trotting. And now I'm sprinting. And then you don't want to get caught.
Oh, you wouldn't accept a drink from a friendly gay person that bought you one at a bar?
Damn it. Did I see the bartender make it? I don't know.
Yeah, you did.
There might be a set of expectations along with that. Oh, look who's calling. Quote, well, that happens, you know. The city of Milwaukee is just under a lot of scrutiny always, and essentially human error happens. This is what George Christensen said. He is the Milwaukee County Clerk who oversees elections and election results in Milwaukee County. Look, I get it. I know that the city of Milwaukee is under scrutiny and unnecessary scrutiny from the Trump administration that believes that we cast a whole bunch of fake votes and we let a bunch of illegal people vote. So if you know that we're under that kind of scrutiny, like, I wonder how do they pressure test our election system to account for things like this? Because moving forward, and here's the thing, it is to the benefit of every single person in the city of Milwaukee that we can have trust in our elections and that the system and the process has integrity. Because there can't even be any doubt. There can't even be even the slightest appearance of some kind of impropriety because we are under an incredible kind of microscope that calls into question our election results because this is just an old, weird stereotype that when Democrats win, it's because illegal people are voting or non-citizens are voting or people are voting twice, which we know is not true. And I can tell you, I got firsthand experience, especially when it comes to the African-American community, it's hard as hell to get us to vote once, let alone get us to vote twice. And so we are treated unfairly in that regard. When there are high vote totals in the city of Milwaukee, which we know is a Democratic stronghold, there's always going to be some skepticism. And so that is even more reason to make sure that these kinds of errors don't happen, because every now and again, ladies and gentlemen, we will get elections that are very, very close to where everybody can raise an eyebrow. And because these systems do involve human beings and human beings can make errors, we've got to figure out a better way. And I'm willing and open and available to help however I can to make sure that our elections have integrity and that people aren't making these silly and stupid mistakes, because at some point it may cost somebody a very close election. If I'm the Francesca Hong campaign and I read or see the statement made by George Christensen, the Milwaukee County clerk, I would want a little bit more transparency, because the number of votes that David Crowley won by statewide could be some kind of a clerical error in any one of 72 counties and 1,850 different municipalities. That's a lot of different cities. That's a whole bunch of different counties. And that's a whole bunch of people that might have been drunk, high, tired, uninterested, or just otherwise not careful. Let's talk to Al. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and congratulations to Mr. Crowley. I heard you bring up, you know, that white people want to be pro-white. I think that's wonderful. But my question is why is it every time we come to y'all being pro-white or being pro-anything, y'all always want to put black people in your business? Black people are not even effing with y'all like that. And I just think it's a disease and trauma that y'all have got from your household and your upbringing. Black people have not black people have not went out their way or took time out their day to hang you from a tree, record raping your children and making videos and bragging about it. That is your white ass kin, folks. We have not done anything to you, but you keep putting us in your business. Why you don't go take that up with your mammy and your grandpappy? It is not black people's fault that some of your white kin folks don't feel comfortable with their white children around your goddamn daddy. So if you are so pro-white, be pro-white. But why you got to put us in your business? We don't even ask with you like that. And all your anger, hate, and trauma comes from your goddamn household. But if you're just that mad and that miserable, why not put a double barrel shotgun in the roof of your mouth and pull the trigger and blow your goddamn brains out? And you can be all pro-white in peace. I'm just trying to understand why you keep putting us in your business. And Al from Sherman Park, I like how you try to pull that trick card on that race card you try to pull. That's not going to work with me, boo-boo, because I don't praise nobody who look like Burke Reynolds, okay? So you can take that to Lacoste when they're doing Tina in the bathroom. So don't try that with me. But my question is, why is it when it comes to being pro-white, you keep putting black people in your business? Why y'all don't do that with the Jews? They're not even real white, and they want to be white. Black people ain't walking around here wanting to be white. Yeah, we got a couple of coon-ass niggas that want to be like you, but that's not us. So I'm going to hang up and listen. Why do you keep putting us in your business when we never wanted to be in your business? I think that's kind of sick. Have yourself a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but it seems if a black person becomes successful and a white person doesn't share that same level of success, maybe the white person is wondering, well, it must have been affirmative action, or it must have been some kind of a minority quota, because how on earth, because I think the white culture knows full on well what it has done structurally and institutionally to marginalize black success. They don't like when we drive nice cars and live in big houses. They don't like it. They're okay if we have stuff. But just have less than us, I think, might be some of the prevailing wisdom. And also, maybe I'm blowing this whole thing out of proportion. Maybe white people aren't racist at all. Maybe they love us so very much, they love us a lot. I don't know. You got to limit how much time you spend thinking about stuff like that, because it'll mess your brains up. There's a different kind of racism that exists in the North that I've become familiar with, obviously because I'm from here, but I can contrast it with the racism that exists in the South. In the South, I'm talking the former Confederacy. I'm talking about those deep red states that no matter what Donald Trump is doing, he's always going to have better than a 50% approval rating. I'm talking about that kind of South. Black and white culture in the South is very, very similar. You don't have the same kind of segregation. What will happen is you'll have a poor part of town and you'll have a wealthier part of town, and there will be black people and white people who live right next door to each other in both segments of that town, the poor part and the rich part. And culturally, very similar. They eat the same foods a lot of times. It's just that I think in the South, they don't really want black people to have anything, just nothing, no kind of success. But also at the same time, they know that they're powerless to prevent it. In the North, I think that they're okay with black people being successful, but be successful over there. Go away or go stay in your own neighborhood and be successful. Don't come out here with all that. Don't come out to River Hills. Don't come out to Menominee Falls. Don't come out to Waukesha. No. Stay on the North side. Oh, you can have success on the North side. We just don't want to see it. We don't want it near us, I think, is the difference in Midwestern racism. Curly, we do not know the full percentage of voter turnout yet because there are still some marginal amounts of ballots that need to be counted. My prediction is we're probably somewhere at 27 to 29% if I had to guess. Lady B says, I don't even know why I'm going to read this. First of all, I'm going to fully disclose to all of you that I don't know this lady from Adam. Or maybe I should say I don't know her from Eve. I don't know who this lady is. And she's a frequent listener of the program, this and on my YouTube channel, Hughes Views 414. Oh, and if you haven't subscribed to that, go ahead and do it. But she says, Sherwin is so toxic, LOL. And then her next thing she types is, that's why I don't want a relationship with him. Woman, I don't know you. You don't want a relationship with me. I don't want one with you. Well, it depends what you're talking about, though. Like, what you trying to do? I should know better. Don't involve yourself with listeners. Don't. What is this? Professor Hughes, there's plenty of baldy locks out there. Huh? What's baldy locks? Don't take the cornbread, Professor Hughes. What are you talking about? I got to take a commercial break because I don't know what you... What's wrong with you people? The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. If I ever fall in love again, I'll be a friend. It's gonna be a friend. If I ever fall in love again, I'll be a friend. Yeah. I like them bold. I'm kind of cocky, not too much to make the move. They try to lock me, try to take away the jewels. You cannot stop, you gotta understand the rules. I've been the type to wear the heart on my sleeve. Been the one to always choose the wrong place.
Vote counting in Milwaukee was stalled after issues were discovered late Tuesday night, August 11th. Paulina Gutierrez, the executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, said audit logs from five machines were downloaded instead of the actual results. Gutierrez said the issue was caused by, quote, human error. Now, workers need to return those machines and make sure the results are downloaded properly. Gutierrez said approximately 15,000 ballots are yet to be counted. Wait a minute. That was at 12:13 a.m. Okay, so they've been counted already. Okay. Published at 4 p.m. August 11th, so yesterday afternoon while the polls were open. Workers at Milwaukee Central Count worked to tally thousands of absentee ballots on Tuesday in Wisconsin's partisan primary election. Tallying began early, and the Milwaukee Election Commission says it was a busy but smooth day overall. Workers downloaded votes onto a flash drive that was taken to the Milwaukee County Courthouse to be securely uploaded. 100 workers were there on site all day, counting more than 26,000 absentee ballots that were returned. Paulina Gutierrez, the executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, says there was low turnout on Tuesday, especially in comparison to the August 2022 primary for governor. Across the board, we are seeing pretty low turnout in this election. Gutierrez said, I was looking at August 2022 election. That was about 26%. That total was 73,000 ballots. They also implemented a new system with bins so that once a ballot was counted, it did not move. Again, let's talk to Diana. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Good morning, Sherwin. I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm just calling on behalf of the voters that they, you know, were repeatedly saying that were undecided in the for the polls. And I was intentionally undecided because the campaign was so unstable. You know, people dropping out, you know, it just was unstable. And I wanted to make sure that by the time I voted, I was going to vote for somebody that was going to stay in the campaign, and I knew that they would be there and know where they are in the polls. So, also, I liked a couple of the candidates. I like Joe Brennan. I was confident in him that he could do a good job. I felt like he worked very closely with Evers, and so he knows the process, and I'm sure that he would adopt some of Evers' processes. And so I felt good about him, except that no one knew him. You know, he was well known in maybe the city circle, but as far as voters, he had a real, very poor campaign, and he just didn't put himself out there, so people didn't know who he was. And so I think that's what really hurt him. As far as Kelda Royce, I liked her. I thought she had some good ideas, but she focused a lot on kids. And so, you know, but being a lawyer, she was, you know, she works with the good, the bad, the ugly. She's seen it all. She's worked with all kinds of people. So I felt good about that. However, again, she was not very well known, and she ran a real very poor campaign, and people didn't know her and didn't know what she was about. And so, but I feel like when she knew that she couldn't win, she should have dropped out, so that giving those voters over to Hong or Qualley, because I think that the votes that she, you know, took on, we lost that. So, and then, you know, along with the people who voted early, and then those people dropped out. What I didn't want to do, you know, was vote for Mandela Barnes or Qualley. But getting back to that, Francesca Hong, I did like her. I liked her a lot. I liked her ideas. However, I did not see them really happening. I didn't see, you know, that's a new fight. A lot of things that she was looking for, aiming for, were new fights. And we are now in a climate where we're trying to stabilize our economy. We're trying to get people back on track. People lost jobs. People lost health insurance. We need to stay back on track with what we know we can work with, and not start new fights with ICE and new fights with vouchers and, you know, whatnot. And so, but I did like her ideas. I wished her the best. Between her and Qualley, I didn't really care who won. But the reason why I didn't want Qualley or Mandela Barnes is, Barnes is because they've been in the game too long to not have enough successes. Mm. You know, they've been working out here for a long time. They're well known. And so, like, where's the progress? And so I was really afraid that we're going to have the same old, you know, same as usual. But so I hope Qualley can, you know, I hope he steps up this time.
Does he have your support moving into the general election in November?
He does. He does. So I hope I've done the right thing.
We'll know in 84 days. Thank you, Diana, for your very articulate take on being an undecided voter.
Okay. Well, thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too, Diana. That was complicated. She was all over the place. At least she could clearly articulate her thinking as to why she liked Francesca, said some positive things about Kelda. Kelda had a lackluster campaign, thought that Joel Brennan could have been potentially good as governor, but he never really got off the ground either. Fascinating stuff. The Madison area counties where Roy's candidacy potentially mattered most. So as we are doing an autopsy on what happened, and it's good to know what happened moving forward, where the Qualley campaign is going to have to move and going to have to pivot and going to have to embrace at least some of the ideas that move voters toward either Francesca Hong or Kelda Royce. Thank Kelda for staying in the race, because Kelda Royce supporters, their second choice was Francesca. And if just 5 in 100, just 5% of Kelda's supporters would have voted for Francesca, even though we know a third of them would have, that would have erased David Crowley's entire lead. So her staying in the race did tremendous benefit to strengthen David Crowley's vote totals. Look particularly at Dane County and surrounding South Central Wisconsin counties. Royce's political identity was strongly associated with Madison, and she was explicitly competing in the same progressive space that Hong occupied. Wisconsin Public Radio's pre-election reporting described precisely this problem. Quote, Royce was progressive, but Hong occupied the most progressive lane in their home cities. If Royce accumulated several thousand votes across Dane County and neighboring counties that otherwise might have gone to Hong, those voters became highly consequential when the statewide margin is only 3,200 votes. La Crosse in western Wisconsin, this is another area worth examining, because Hong's campaign needed to demonstrate that her progressive appeal extended beyond Madison. Crowley was campaigning as a candidate who could appeal across the state rather than simply to the Democratic base in Madison and Milwaukee. His campaign explicitly emphasized statewide electability against Republican Tom Tiffany. The question for Hong wasn't simply, can I win in Madison? It was, can I win enough Madison-type voters outside of Madison to compensate for Milwaukee? Ultimately, she did not. Brown and Outagamie counties and the Fox Valley. This is another important test of whether Hong could translate her progressive support into votes outside of Madison and Milwaukee. The Associated Press identified Brown and Outagamie counties as Democratic vote centers in northeastern Wisconsin. For Hong, these counties represented the broader question. Could she build a statewide progressive coalition, or was her support concentrated in Madison and other Democratic strongholds? That distinction became extremely important. So we're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk to Millicent on the other side and get her take on things. We're listening to the election autopsy on The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, exclusively on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Are your finances low? Your mindset off track? Or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune into The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step toward building a better future. That is The Journey with Coach Erica, first and third Saturdays from 11 a.m. to noon right here on 101.7 The Truth. Are your finances low, people? You need money? How much money you need? I'm always curious of how much money people make. Here, let me ask this question. Y'all quit arguing in there. Y'all are arguing? I got a question. Hey, I'm talking to y'all. Nitty's in there too, right? I got a question for both y'all. How much money y'all make? Just in general. No, what's okay? Just like I need a number for what is fully funding public schools, I want how much you make. Nitty, how much your residuals from BOW? You be getting checks? You be getting royalties? Build our Wisconsin? Is it go platinum? All right.
Stuff.
Okay. That's radio hosting, a little cussing. That's fine. That's all right. Let's talk to Millicent. Hey, Millicent, how much money do you make?
I don't make no money.
Yeah,
I'm
do.
Poor.
No,
poor
hell. Like hell, no. You poor.
Look, I'm on Social Security. I'm on a fixed income.
Millicent, you got a 401k, a 501k, a 601k?
Not a 501. No, I don't have that one. I got the 4, not the 5 or 6.
So what are your thoughts on the election?
Listen.
Yes.
I'm glad. I was hoping Crowley would win. That's who I was hoping for. But what I don't want is for us now to get into this behavior of what is he going to do for us? What is he going to do for black people? How is he going to make black people better? if you get into that, Tom Tiffany is going to show you what's not going to make you better. So y'all better just rally around him and vote. Because if Tom Tiffany gets in there, oh, it's going to be another different kind of horse that we be riding. So I don't want it just to be like, oh, he going to get in office. What he going to do? He going to give us this, give us that. It, regardless of what he does for you, he's going to do better for you than what Tom Tiffany would. And I think that's where we're at this point.
All right, Millicent. We'll be watching.
All right. Have a good day. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I have found that people who reduce their political understanding to what is he or she going to do for me, what am I going to get, what immediate gratification am I going to receive? What short-term benefit is going to be put into my hand are people that probably do not vote because they do not have an understanding of how the system actually works. The only thing that we can do is help shape and create a favorable climate and environment where people can maximize their full potential. So it is not just fully funding education, whatever that means, but it's lowering prices, lowering costs, making it easier to get into entrepreneurship, and lowering and reducing any kind of institutional barriers to people's success, creating a climate that is favorable for more jobs and employers to want to come here, et cetera, et cetera. So if there are barriers, regardless of your community or your zip code, to your success, and right now one of the biggest barriers that we see is a lackluster education program, because that goes to the heart of the kind of workforce that we want and we need in Wisconsin. If we do not have educated people here, then the jobs may come, the companies may come, they're going to hire, but they're going to have to hire people who are from somewhere else, and that's problematic. So one of those core issues is, or one of those questions that you may ask or answer, what is the candidate going to do for me? Ask how they support education, whether it be K-12, whether it be early childhood education, or even maybe subsidizing to a higher degree if you want to go to trade and tech school, which I believe should be completely and totally free. And even reducing the cost of attending a university, because contrary to popular belief, all of the occupations that we need filled with the baby boomer generation removing themselves from the workforce can't just be filled by being a barber or an esthetician. We are going to actually need people with master's degrees and PhDs and bachelor of science degrees and bachelor of arts degrees. There's still a necessary part of our society that needs those kinds of degrees. Now, it's very expensive, but the best investment a human being can ever make, ever. And it's not real estate and the stocks and the bonds and the derivatives and the options. That's not the best investment you can. Really, the best investment you can make is on call sheet betting that David Crowley would win the race. I know somebody that did that, and they're stupid rich. They came in here smelling like money. You know how people's attitude change when they get money. They look at you funny. They look down their nose at you. I know what that feeling is. A lot of people looking at me like I'm short. Like, I got money too. Got a little, I could go out to eat. I could take a woman on a date. I got a little money, but I ain't got as much money as some of y'all. I know somebody came in here today. They won big money last night. And they came in, they was like, what you looking at? Who is you? Do I know you? Excuse me. Open this door for me. Who are you? Are you the help? Who are you? I'm rich. That's what the person said. They said it to me. Sherwin who? Sherman? Is that your name? Sherman? I don't know you. I was like, Nitty, it's me. Who? Security! And then Nitty, security. Nitty got rich. He didn't tell me how much money he made, though. You don't need this little radio gig, Nitty. You don't need this. This is just something that you just do for fun. Just be coming here, just be chilling. You're on for a long time today.
He said he does need it.
No, yeah, he don't need this. Nitty just, he got so much money. He's like, I think I'll run for office. Nitty ran against Bob Bauman. I was right there with him. I was like, come on, Nitty, let's get it. Cracked me up yesterday. Nitty was like, I would have won my race if it wasn't raining on election day. I was like, word? I was like, come on, dog. You know black people don't be... What, was I not supposed to say that? It's true! Then people was like, I want to vote for Nitty, but I just got my hair done. He'll win. He gonna be all right. I love when black folks say that. They don't need my vote. They gonna be all right. No, that's when the blacks lose. Quote, Kelder Royce didn't have to win the election to potentially determine who won it. Kelder Royce received approximately 59,000 votes. Crowley won by approximately 3,200. So, only about one out of every 18 Kelder Royce voters would have had to have chose Hong instead for the outcome to change. We have polling evidence that says Kelder Royce voters actually lean toward Hong as their second choice. 34% Hong versus 29% for Crowley. That's why saying Kelder Royce may have been the difference is mathematically accurate. But we cannot say that Royce definitely lost or cost Hong the election. There is no counterfactual ballot. Some Royce voters would have voted Crowley. Some would have voted Brennan. Some may have voted for one of the other candidates who had withdrawn. Some may not have voted at all. So the intellectually honest conclusion is, you ready for this? Royce didn't necessarily cost Hong the election, but she absolutely received enough votes to have changed the election, and the available polling suggests that her voters lean more toward Hong than Crowley. With a statewide margin of only about 3,200 votes, that makes Royce one of the most important unanswered questions of the entire election. Francesca Hong didn't lose because she had no constituency. She received essentially 40% of the Democratic vote. She lost because she couldn't consolidate the progressive vote enough to overcome Crowley's establishment coalition. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
So she's essentially the white Mandela Barnes.
She's the white Mandela.
Yeah, she is.
Just gets in the way, messing things up for others.
Yeah, they so what probably should have happened was, but Kelda has, she's very confident, and it probably borders on arrogance. And also, Kelda is the senator. She is higher ranking than Francesca. And sometimes pride gets in the way, and it can blind you, especially if you're really super ambitious. Kelda, who is the lawyer, who is the senator, who has been around Wisconsin politics since Francesca was probably 10 years old, was not going to bow out of a race and endorse and support her subordinate, even though that would have better solidified the progressive coalition. It would have. And imagine, in a perfect world, what happens is this. Francesca says, hey, Kelda, I'm going to win. I'm going to sew up the progressive coalition. You drop out of the race. You endorse me. And then I will give you a position in state government. I'll make you a secretary of, you know, transportation or Department of Administration. I don't know that Kelda would accept a position in a gubernatorial administration from her subordinate. There's a pride thing. And Kelda stayed in the race. Kelda polled very, very low. If anything, the Marquette University Law School poll, which needs to be completely discredited. I don't ever want to see another Marquette poll ever again. First of all, screw Marquette. I went to UW-Milwaukee. We'll kick Marquette's ass. We'll fight you. Bunch of private school kids. Talk about I went to Marquette. Give me your lunch money, ho. No, Sherwin. Marquette kids be having $35,000 in cash for lunch.
Yeah.
Us UWM kids, we took box lunches. We had to fight each other for food. We were like rabid dogs. We used to rob and steal at UW-Milwaukee. But we're highly educated. Just want to let you know. We're the street smart university. You know what I mean? Marquette University got one thing right. Kelda was in single digits. She remained. I think she ended up getting, I don't know, about 4% of the vote. But that 4% was very crucial. But she should have dropped out of the race and endorsed Francesca, because Francesca had momentum that Kelda could never get. Kelda's never been able to get that kind of momentum. Remember, she ran for governor in 2018 and finished in the exact same damn place, single digits. She also ran for Congress against Mark Pocan. And Mark Pocan is a homosexual gay fella, right? So when Kelda was running against Mark Pocan in that primary, Kelda all of a sudden became bisexual. Oh, I'm a member of the LGBTQ community. We was like, Kelda, chill. Girl, you married and got five kids. Ain't not nan nothing lesbian about you.
Mark Pocan's the OG.
Kelda kissed a girl and she liked it. She's like, oh, I'm a lesbian. I'm going to get the gay vote.
I wonder, will the Francesca people rebel against her now? Will she be, no good no more in Madison?
Will the Francesca Hong supporters be angry at Kelda?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. They should be. So I got all this information here, and a lot of this is mathematical and blah, 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 blah. She cost. Absolutely, she did.
Well, let's make her a pariah now in Madison.
I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get involved in Madison politics. That's not my thing. I got a whole city of Milwaukee to worry about. Madison is going to do what Madison does. They ain't got nothing to do with me. Madison is weird. I go there when I have to, but it's never, like, on top of my list of places to go because I'm so familiar with that place and, like, the social climate of Madison. I don't like it. It's a fake veneer of progressivism and liberalism. It is shrouded in the most intense kind of racism you have absolutely ever seen. It's that white liberal kind of racism, like, oh, I know better than you niggers do. Well, no. I don't mean it that way. Like, that's the Madison liberal. No, I love niggers. No, my God, I love you guys so much. You guys dance so good. But here, policy-wise, here, I'm going to write the script for you, and then you guys just do what we say because we're Madison. Yuck. No thanks. And they don't even think there's anything wrong with that attitude. And I'm like, well, look at you niggers. I mean, no, look at how you live. Come live like us. We'll help you. Just vote for our political agenda so we can keep our lead over you. No thanks. So I don't get involved in it. Okay, I'm going to take a break, come back. I guess we'll do a Hughes Views 414 show tonight.
Called it Kelda Barnes.
We did some big numbers last night. We did some sexy-ass numbers last night. Let's do some sexy numbers tonight as well. If you're not subscribed to the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel, come get you a little piece. Come get you a little taste. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back. On 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Aaron told me to stop pocket watching. I'm not watching anybody's pocket. I'm just curious as to how much money people make. I know the younger generations, they oftentimes share salary information. And you know what they have done? They have eliminated or certainly dramatically reduced pay disparities, because when people share how much their salaries are in the same job, employers sometimes have a lot of explaining to do. I know it was common among some of my younger colleagues. They was real open and honest about how much money they made. I don't be doing that because people will judge you. I mean, I wouldn't judge anybody if they told me how much money they made. In fact, the wealthier you are, contrary to popular belief, you're more likely to be a damn democratic socialist. It's the most unusual phenomenon ever. When the Democratic Socialists of America did their own internal survey of their members, and they released this information, Democratic Socialists are 85% white. The Republican Party is 79% white. So Democratic Socialists are actually whiter. Only 4% of Democratic Socialists work in blue collar labor type of jobs. 96% of them absolutely do not. 35% of Democratic Socialists have at least a master's degree or higher. A third of them have master's degrees or higher, and another third of them make better than $100,000 a year. These are not poor people that even need Medicare for all. In fact, I think that their lives are already so on paper complete, their high levels of education, their higher levels of income, they might as well ask for more. They might as well ask for free health insurance. They might as well ask for reduced college tuition. They might as well. That's such an interesting phenomenon. But also, in the grand scheme of things, ladies and gentlemen, and I think that last night's election results will prove this accurate, the African-American vote that is still largely Democratic does not do, agree with, or even believe the principles of democratic socialism. And why is that? It is a Western European modality in majority white countries where majority white people use their money and their taxes to take care of one another. Whether it be Bernie Sanders or whether it be Francesca Hong, they don't have the understanding because their party and their affiliation of being a democratic socialist is conversations that take place amongst white people without including the very specific sentiments of the black community where race is going to play a factor. Even if you have Medicare for all or Badger Care for all, they're still going to find a way to disqualify a large number of African Americans. It is a European economic and political modality. And I don't know about you, but I don't need any other kind of European influence tainting the lives of non-European people. Go back to Europe if you want. There ain't nobody stopping you from going to Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland. You're welcome to go there. They got plenty of room. And you can go skiing on snow or cocaine. Not my problem. Congratulations to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Now the real fight begins against the election-denying, ultra-conservative, MAGA acolyte Tom Tiffany, who did win his primary last night. And he is the Republican nominee for governor in the state of Wisconsin. So let's saddle up. Roll out. Thank you for listening. The Lunch Break is up next.